B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
McAvoy waits. Everybody gets back on side. In it goes. Bennington can't come out to play it. Bruins change. Blade bumped off the puck by Corrali. Centered out in front. Pasternak shoots. He scores! The forecheck generates a turnover. David Pasternak with a head fake. Got Bennington to commit. And then he snaps it in. Bruins 4, Blues 1.
Wouldn't it be funny if the show's over before it's the Rockets here?
So, okay, how backed up is the traffic right now? Because
101 minutes. But you know how those show those things on TV about the wait times?
Yeah.
It's usually by now all yellow or green, and it's all decidedly red in some almost 2 hours.
Rich, just take a look over your right shoulder at Morrissey Boulevard.
Oh, my God. I mean, this
it's,
is...
It's awful.
This is unbelievable. The delays can now last more than an hour just on the T, I am seeing. So if you're getting anywhere in the red line, you're not getting anywhere.
No, because there are shuttle buses, Rich, from that have to get in that traffic that everybody else is in to try and get people from Quincy all the way to Park Street, I'm being told.
And you got to ride in shuttle buses. That's right. And you got to wait in the rain. So there is that going on as well.
What an absolute nightmare. And then you've got everything backed up. You're right, because all those, you got right here on 93. 93 is always a hell.
But people are smart getting off earlier, trying to take Morrissey Boulevard, and my understanding is police have stopped letting cars do that because Morrissey Boulevard is so bad coming north.
Well, hopefully this will not be the case tomorrow morning, because this is the place where you need to be if you want to win your tickets to Game 7. We have a pair to give away starting at 6 a.m. Show up outside of our studio here at 55 Morrissey in Dorchester, and sometime between 6 and 9 o'clock, we are going to give a pair of tickets randomly to somebody who is out front. And on top of that, in studio, we're going to randomly take people from outside, bring them in studio. I want this to sound like chaos tomorrow. I am still, what's the word that Rome uses? Chasing. I want a full marching band in studio tomorrow. It's Game 7. It's time to go big.
Okay, so say you have a marching band and not everyone can come. You can still come as a smaller unit.
Yeah, we'll take 10, 15 people instead of 30,
If you have a barbershop quartet, I'll take that too.
Really?
Anything you don't have to plug
How
in.
How about that?
Anything you don't have to plug not in lieu of a marching band.
We
need a marching band.
No, okay. But I mean, if you have like a little a cappella group, or you have something, or you're a big weirdo.
We got the BWO. We got Bruins Hogan, Bruins Macho Man. We've got Xanadude coming here.
No, we don't know if Xanadude's
coming.
We don't know if Xanadude's coming here. I don't think
Chief Wanamaker Cheer. That's the guy who committed.
Yeah.
He said he's coming here tomorrow.
It's a real star-studded affair. But nonetheless, if you could bring some sort of brass band, it could be anything. Just stuff that makes a lot of noise.
I want you to show up, and if you can perform the Bear Force One, that would be fantastic. The Bruins goal song, which, whatever, fine. But I don't care.
You know what I want? I want a barbershop quartet to cover Mike Behind the Mike Callahan. That's what I would like
just
to
cover Bear Force One.
Bear Force One.
That's right.
What if they did Curly Shuffle in order of... honor of John.
Let's do that. I'm all for that.
So I have a feeling that this is good. The defeatist in me says four people are going to show up. But the realist in me says... I've seen people do things for tickets that are worth way less than
I've
this.
I've seen people do things for Banana Republic t-shirts. Oh. Not Banana Republic, but whatever that the suntan lotion is. Panama Jack.
Oh, yeah. Like free t-shirts, like swags, like an appearance. I've seen grown men at sporting events, like when they drop the t-shirts from the ceiling in little parachutes, like fall over three rows to get one of those t-shirts.
Back many, many years ago, I've seen a tremendous amount of nudity. Yes.
So the deal is there'll be people registering would-be contestants. People want the tickets at 6 in the morning, right?
Here is the deal, is that promotions is going to handle all of it.
Yeah. All you need to know is that you're going to get here, you're going to put your name down, a name's going to be drawn.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. And so, but you have to be here to win. So I want it to be chaos outside of the studio tomorrow morning. There's already been a warning to all the employees not to show up until 9 o'clock because of what could potentially happen. Yes, Dan,
I think that's going to go.
What's that?
How do you think that's going to go? Because when we get the emails that we're not supposed to park certain places,
yeah,
nobody pays attention.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Well, I would pay attention. I never pay attention, but I would pay attention tomorrow if I worked.
We are going to make everyone in this building very angry. including all the other shows. We're going to have a marching band in the studio. It's going to bleed through all the other radio shows. Yeah.
I'd rather you can just use the excuse not to come in. Work from home.
Sure.
That's what I would do.
So if you have a gigantic marching band, like I want like the full 15 to 30 piece, and we're going to put them all in here in the studio, either direct message me, at Touch and Rich, or Rich at 98.5 The Sports Hub, because there was two that said that they could do it, and then they said they couldn't get it together at the last moment, which is understandable, but come on. What are we doing here? The Everett High School people reached out to me. Come on, Bird. You've got connections. Have you reached out yet? Have you put out the Bird signal?
He has to go out
check
on
the your
street.
DMs.
A person says check my DMs?
Check your BMs.
Okay.
Mike, go ahead. Michael.
Touching on the traffic out there, I just hope that you are not trying to get anywhere at any point, because there's no point. It's just chaos out there. Complete gridlock.
Where are you right now?
I just drove by your office on the highway, actually, and just got off at exit 18 coming from Quincy going into the city, and I'm already an hour and 15 minutes into my commute here.
Oh, Jesus.
So probably got about 3 miles in an hour and 15 minutes. So good luck getting anywhere for any of you.
All
right. It's not going to happen.
I cut through neighborhoods. Don't worry about me.
No, it's,
I ain't dealing with that freeway.
The perk of getting up early is this, ladies and gentlemen.
I go back roads home.
Yep.
I ain't get every, because this stuff happens all the time. I ain't sitting on the freeway. I'd rather be moving. I don't care if it takes me longer.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I'd rather go long and keep moving.
Yeah, sure. I'd rather. That's what I do. Just keep moving.
How do you put a train back on the track? Is there like a machine they got?
Nah, just
a bunch of strong guys. Yeah. You know, kind of rock the thing and
they get a bunch of bringing some sort of a crane, some sort of an apparatus to write it up back onto the track.
That's got to be easy to get a machine down to one of these stations.
They get old muscle men that wear like the onesies.
The guys with the handlebar mustaches.
Can I give you a quick? Sorry, not to veer away from the traffic, but we do have an update on the Everett High marching band.
Oh,
so John, calm down. tomorrow is graduation. So there should be a lot of them.
Yeah, there should still be a lot of them.
It's graduation. They have to perform at graduation.
More people will be in our studio than at that graduation. Come on. We're going to make it so.
Then I'll tell you they're on their way. They're stuck in traffic.
Yeah, there'll be. I mean, how many people can actually graduate from Everett High?
No, we got. I mean, see, but that, it's in the morning, though. Graduation's not in the morning, right?
Who knows?
Don't graduate during the day from high school.
All right. I don't even remember my high school graduation. It was so meaningful.
Bert's giving us a different explanation regarding it, but something about a bus, about transportation.
Can't
afford the bus, can't afford the transportation.
Okay. Well, there you go. Just put them all in the place that you banged your girlfriend.
They can get here by the T.
What kind of car does he drive?
Honda Pilot.
Of course it's a Honda Pilot, Fred.
Put them all in the back of the Honda Pilot where you first made love to your woman. In the back of the Honda Pilot because the parents were home. And he couldn't get into his room. All right, Judd Surratt is here. He is the play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins. He has gone through the traffic. We'll have him on for 5 minutes. He has gone through that traffic. We will have him on in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krejci's got it. Everybody gets back on side. Krejci, right circle, Coleman, wrister, he scores! Carson Coleman ripped it just inside the near post, over the blocker, and a Jordan Bennington making 3-0 Bruins.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. In studio is a man who has a chance to add his voice to the history of the Boston Bruins, as he will be making the call along with Bob Beers, 8 o'clock Wednesday night, tomorrow night, Game 7. And thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so this is not to say that you've done this, because that would have a sense of overconfidence. But let's say if you knew a sportscaster who was going to broadcast and be the voice of Game 7, a Stanley Cup winning game, would you think that that broadcaster would have written out what iconic thing he was going to say once they won?
I would hope not. I think, you know, you might have an idea of what where you might go, but I forget who I had mentioned this to before. I think if you're in those moments, it has to be genuine. It has to come from the heart. You don't want it to be scripted. And I think you want it to match the moment, because you have no idea how is it going to end. Is it going to end in double overtime? Is it going to be a rout?
But there's a pressure. Do you think that person would feel pressure, you know, like at that point? Because the one thing you notice about the radio call is that anytime there's like a DVD or any kind of like, you know, even like with NFL films and stuff, you don't hear the NBC broadcast of it. You hear Scott Zolak, and you know, you hear the radio
call.
You hear John Wallach sometimes on like when they do Celtic stuff nationally when he's doing the play by play.
I had one game 7, and I thought about that for hours. Seriously, the Milwaukee game that I did first round, I spent a lot of time thinking about what am I going to say, and then in the end, you just throw it out because you wind up thinking too much.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I think, listen, if you've gotten to this point and you're doing NBA games, you're doing National Hockey League games, Major League Baseball, the National Football League, you got to trust your instincts. You have to trust what got you there. You know, in some ways, listen, you're no different than a player. So just do the things that got you to this point. Make it genuine. Make it from the heart. You know, make sure that it comes, you know, right off the top of your head.
All right, from having to pay attention to the devils and details of every moment of this series, is there anything that you have seen that gives you any kind of inclination as to how Game 7 is going to turn out?
I think the trend has been for the Bruins through the first three rounds that the later the series has gone, whether it's the Leafs, the Blue Jackets, obviously the series didn't go very long against Carolina, but I think it still somewhat applies that the later it went, the more the top six were a factor. And that was certainly the case the other night against the St. Louis Blues. And I think that bodes well for the Boston Bruins. When you think about a Game 7, and I know, obviously, Zdeno Chara, this is going to be his 14th. That'll set the National Hockey League record for the most Game 7s. And I know a lot of these guys have been through Game 7s. And on both sides, listen, I know the St. Louis Blues played in a Game 7. It wasn't quite of this magnitude, but they had to win an overtime game thanks to Patrick Maroon in order to advance to the conference final. You're going to have to be able to manage the emotion, manage the moment, and everything is going to be magnified because this is for everything. Mm-hmm. Everything is on the line. There are going to be some guys tomorrow, even experienced guys, that are going to have to work their way through it. I think that we've seen it here in the last couple of years. There are going to be some guys on both teams who don't necessarily want the puck, and there are a lot of guys who are going to demand the puck in the moment in order to make a difference.
What about aggression? Oh, sorry, one last question. What about the aggression of the St. Louis Blues? Because, I mean, obviously, they've taken liberties at the beginning of the series. We saw, like, I mean, how they've hunted heads, I mean, several times. But you're at a point with Game 7 where, you know, every power play could mean the Stanley Cup.
Well, we were talking about this earlier, is that there's not the threat of suspension that anyone's going to care about. You're not going to miss a playoff game. So how does that affect the officiating? Are they going to try to bear down and take care of things early? How hard will it be for them to keep control of the game? How is this? Because it all benefits St. Louis, it seems, the more that you can get away with. You disagree?
Well, first of all, I think the officiating is a wild card. I have no idea. Every crew seems to call it a little bit differently.
It's the Game 6 crew. They announced that. It's going to be for Game 7.
It's the exact same crew, so that's Gordy Dwyer and Chris Rooney.
They did 2 and 4 also, right? I think it's 2,
it's
4,
Game
and 6.
Crew. Yeah. Not sure. But, you know, I think if I'm the St. Louis Blues, listen, I have been terrorized by the Bruins on the power play. So that's fine. You know, you want to be physical. You want to finish your checks. And I think Craig Berube, in seeing some of his comments yesterday, that he felt like his team wasn't as physical as they needed to be. And that's fine. I don't think that the Bruins have any problem playing through that. But if I'm the Blues, I have to make sure that I don't cross the line. If you think about the first minor penalty that they took in Game 6, Braden Schenn on a preventable penalty. He drills Joakim Nordstrom along the far side, takes a minor penalty because they're shorthanded. Ryan O'Reilly trying to get a puck out in his own zone, throws it over the glass. Marchand scores, and the Bruins are on their way to a Game 6 win. You have to play within the context of the game, and I don't think that the Bruins shy away from any of the contact. If anything, the only thing I think the Bruins would like to be able to rectify isn't the right word. Sharpen is getting the puck out of their own zone, being able to get through that forecheck. If they're able to do that, I think the Blues have a hard time handling the Bruins' pace.
What did you make of the Blues mucking it up at the end of Game 6?
I think that's pretty natural stuff.
You don't think that's kind of JV
no,
in a Game 6?
No, actually it's a little bit old school in the National Hockey League. I think a lot of times this would happen regular season and in the playoffs if it's a lopsided game and you're going to see one another again. I remember thinking, I think Zdeno Chara scored into the empty net to make it 5-1 with about 2.5 minutes left, maybe just over 2 minutes left. And the first thing, I may have mentioned it on the broadcast, and I'm looking at Bob Beers, and he understands this. You got to keep your head up. There's a lot of time left. There's another game that's going to be played. Maybe a message or two is going to be sent. So it didn't surprise me whatsoever that we saw the Blues act out.
Did the Bruins figure something out with Jordan Binnington in Game 6? It just seemed to me like they stopped thinking and started shooting a lot more. They put a lot more pucks on net, and Binnington seemed surprised by all of this at times and was softer than he had been in the series previous.
And there are times in the series he's lost his composure. I mean, even after the game, he was very terse with the media.
Catch his responses? Yeah.
I mean, he was this idea of this guy being a robot with no emotion that we were so impressed by.
It's been more of a roller coaster than we had been led to believe.
Right, and especially his demeanor.
Yes.
Has changed throughout this.
Well, I didn't see it live, and I didn't see the video. I just read the comments. It was about the Brandon Carlo goal.
Yeah, and you see it bounce.
Yeah, you see it bounce? He's dealing with it. I will give him credit. He is meeting the media. He has not shied away from that. He'll do it on game days. But Johnny, to your point, I don't think it's that the Bruins have figured out Binnington. I think it's how they figure out how they generate chances 5-on-5. I think that's a good trend for the Bruins, in addition to their top six improving as series have gone along. That's been the key. I think that's been part of the difference. If the Bruins are able to break through 5-on-5, it's funneling pucks. It's getting to the inside against a long defense. You got some guys with a lot of reach in Pietrangelo, Parayko, and Bouwmeester. Because rebounds have been available. He has been jumpy with the puck quite a bit. So if you're able to get shots through, if you're able to fight through and get those rebounds, I think opportunities are available.
One other question about this series. Is Tuukka Rask the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, win or lose?
Win, no question.
Of course.
Lose, I think it's happened, twice?
Jagera did it.
Ron Hextall also did it.
Hextall before that. But, I mean, Rask has been the best player on the ice for these six games, and it's not even close.
But you could give it to O'Reilly.
You could, but
he's only surfaced here in the last couple of games.
Yeah, I think O'Reilly has to do something in Game 7. He has to score a couple of goals to do that. But if O'Reilly is held off the board and the Bruins lose, say, 1-0 or 2-1, I would think it has to be Rask.
Well, I like their chances a lot if they can get O'Reilly off the board. I mean,
of course.
I like their chances
a lot. Well, that's the other thing. I think the Blues top line, Jaden Schwartz was the guy, I think, heading into this,
12
heading
goals,
into this
right?
series.
Heading into the series.
Everyone would have said, that's probably going to be, your Conn Smythe favorite for St. Louis, or maybe it's Jordan Binnington. Obviously, the narrative has changed with Jordan Binnington after the Bruins torched him here in a couple of games. And for Jaden Schwartz, he only has 2 assists across these games. I want to say he might have only 9 shots on net here in the series. So the Bruins, whether it's something they're doing or something that Schwartz has been limited by, he has not been a factor in this series. For St. Louis, I think it's more of a difficult question if they win where a Conn Smythe Trophy voter would choose to go.
Why do you believe, just for the first thing you said when you came in today, the lines, the top 2 lines, why do you believe that they got better as the series went on? As each one of these rounds has gone on.
Well, now we start to talk about depth, because I think for most teams, when you head into a playoff series, whether it's the Stanley Cup final or even the first round, I think most opposing teams are focused on, okay, how do we shut down that top 6? How do we limit them? How do we make sure that these guys don't determine the outcome? And I'm sh-
as it was for the Bruins in the first three rounds, and again here in this round. So you're facing the top D, you're facing the top checkers, and so it takes a while, and this is why it helps so much if you're bottom six or if you get some contributions from your defensemen who are able to score. And this is also the case for the Blues. I had this conversation with Alex Pietrangelo when we were in St. Louis, and we were talking about, because the top six for St. Louis in the first five games of the series had been able to get on the board. Tarasenko, Shen, O'Reilly. And he said a lot of that was set up by the performance of their bottom six and those bottom two lines.
Yeah, I'm not in love with the first line still. And they're trying to keep them away. What are you seeing them doing with the first line and when they have the last change? Because Bergeron was the only minus in that game 2 days ago. What do you see them trying? How is Cassidy going to try to match up? Do you want to keep Bergeron, as weird as it sounds? Do you want him to keep him away from that first line? I mean, he hasn't been overly effective. So what is your strategy if you're Cassidy?
I don't know that Bruce Cassidy is going to necessarily keep that top line away from anybody. I think if I'm Craig Berube, I want the Sundquist line going up against them in Game 7. They're going to have Ivan Barbashev back after he served his one-game suspension in Game 6, and that line, along with Alex Steen, has been pretty effective. I think at different times, it's fluctuated for Bruce Cassidy during the course of the series. I don't think he minds if he goes head-to-head the Bergeron line against the Shen line, and then let's see how it plays out. So not exactly sure. I think that's a really good question. I think when it comes to the matchups, a lot of times what Cassidy and Kevin Dean, who runs the D, a lot of the times they'll be more focused on who is the D pair that I want out against St. Louis on a shift-in, shift-out basis.
Isn't it weird we're talking about if you would want to keep the first line away from an effective line just because of the way they've been playing?
And I don't, you know, I don't think that they're going to shy away from any matchup. You know, that's typically not the way he has coached here over the last two full seasons with the Bruins. So I don't think that that's going to be a factor. And I think the fact that the power play not only got going again in Game 6, and you've got Marchand and Pasternak that both got on the board. And for Pasternak, that was a goal that came at even strength. That was only the second goal, if memory serves, for the Bruins, 5-on-5 from their top six.
Yeah.
I think that bodes well for this team.
Hopefully.
And David Krejci got going. David Krejci had been scoreless in the first five games of the series. He was much more effective. Yeah. I thought he looked good in Game 5. I think he broke through in Game 6.
Yeah, the Coleman thing really worked out for them. That's what you're going to remember Cassidy for if they go ahead and win this Game 7. Yeah, that's it's interesting. It's going to be interesting how they line all that up. And
so you're leaning Bruins?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Blues are better 5-on-5?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. I think they're a very good 5-on-5 team. I think they defend well. I think they're a deep team. But I think the other thing that we're starting to see is your best players have to be your best players is the adage here in the playoffs. And I think that I like the top-end players for the Bruins better than I do for the Blues. They do have some talented players. But Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak, Krejci, DeBrusque, Charlie McAvoy. Charlie McAvoy has been outstanding in the series. He is leading all Bruins in ice time here in the series, averaging just over 24 minutes. Torrey Krug has been terrific. He is also just right behind McAvoy, averaging just over 24 minutes. And let's put Tuukka Rask in that conversation. He's been outstanding. Going back to what Johnny talked about with the Conn Smythe Trophy, he's been a rock for this team.
All right, Judge Surratt, you live in Newton, albeit the wrong side. Go through the neighborhood back here. Selvin Hill.
This is going to be a tough
go
ride
by the
home.
Zoo.
Fred's got a shortcut for you.
It's not a shortcut. You'll move, though.
That's true. Fred's got a way where you won't have to stop.
Yeah. Do I go by the Little League fields where you do some coaching?
No, that's on the southeast side. No, you're stuck with your own Newton League. It's over there.
The AAA of
They don't even have a Williamsport. But no, seriously, go through that Savin Hill, and then go through by the zoo. You'll be a happy man when you did. Take you half an hour to get home, but it's better than taking an hour and a half.
Well, I got to head into the city. The Bruins are practicing here at 11:30, so please, I'm going to head into the garden.
Good luck. Take the train.
I'd leave now. Probably walking's quicker at this point.
Yeah, good luck. I should have put the bike on the back of my car.
Seriously.
You would have gotten there quicker.
Yeah.
In the rain. You're probably less miserable.
So is it a Harley? You're like talking about a 10-speed.
It's a Schwinn. He's okay. Got the old Schwinn.
I got the banana seat with the flag on the back.
A lot of hipsters would pay good money for that. Over the Edge, Kevin Dillon style.
Oh.
Over the Edge. You remember that movie?
Where they
take over the high school and they block all the doors?
I know the movie. I did not see it, though.
Never saw Over the Edge? They played it like every 5 seconds?
No, I've never seen it.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen.
Nope.
I didn't see it either. I've heard of it. Never saw it.
Nope.
I think Matt Dillon's first movie.
I've never seen that.
You never saw it?
No.
Over the Edge?
No. I thought maybe you were going to bring up Breaking Away since we're talking about movies.
I've seen.
Going to throw on my cutter.
They stole Richie's bike. He's dead. And then they saw this guy like riding around.
3 o'clock high. I've seen all of that.
Suburban Wasteland, baby.
Awesome.
Yep. Suburban Wasteland. Just put on the headphones and lay in the bed.
Huh.
Go into the buildings they're developing, all the same, and start having sex in them.
Okay, then.
Take acid in class and freak out to that one picture of hell.
Write this down.
I can't believe you guys.
This down. Maybe you can work this into the podcast tomorrow.
All right. All right. See you, Judd.
That'll do it for us. Judd, enjoy the call tomorrow. No pressure at all. Just your whole career rides on it. We will be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. 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 Stack, stack, stack it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Going back and reading all the old dad boners. Which is, it would take you like 5 days. But we're right around the time where a homeless peanut was living with him.
Isn't there a book that compiles all those?
Yeah, but it's not like all of them.
Okay.
It's just like, it's like a tenth of them.
Choice ones?
Yeah, it's just, he just picks them out. He doesn't have, when he's hot dogging.
What did that? Okay, well, I need to go back and take a look at that Twitter account.
So much butt cheeks.
That's one of the last good parody Twitter accounts.
The last. Oh, there's Rigs of Dad that's on Instagram.
But is that a parody account?
Yes. I mean, it shows pictures and it's written in a certain way.
Oh, well, then you need to, on Instagram, you need to follow Chad Tuckett. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. It's all of these dudes who are like frat bros with like salmon pants and like the croquis on, like vomiting all over themselves taking their boats and like capsizing them, like taking dad's boat or like people. Like there's this one dude on there who has a Vineyard Vines tattoo on the back of his leg and it zooms in on it and he's waiting for his Nantucket plane. It's awesome, dude. You got to see it. It's called Chad Tuckett.
Now, are they doing this stuff on purpose?
Are they doing? No, it's like a ridicule. It gets pictures of these people. Okay, dude, you got to see it. Okay. It's great. No. These are real photos of people.
Okay. I thought it was like a jackass situation. Okay,
No. It's fantastic. It is definitely well worth the follow, without a doubt.
Artie just texted me, reminded me so much buns.
Is that a dad boner thing?
I met this girl at the grocery store and she started swearing at him. Jesus, he went to. you know, he went to bed with her and then he woke up confused saying so much buns.
All right. I need to check it out again. I need to go
back.
It's
hard to find.
I'm sure it is.
Right now we're at the peanut part.
Okay. All right. By the way, if you want to win tickets to game two or game two, two tickets to game seven, rather, then you can do it here tomorrow morning. It is going to be ridiculously expensive to get in, and we have a pair. All you got to do, show up sometime after 6, and we're giving them away before 9 o'clock. That's right, 55 Morrissey Boulevard, right here in Dorchester. And we're going to have the parking lot cleared out, ready for whoever shows up.
And if you look like a weirdo, maybe we'll have you come up.
Maybe we'll throw you in here. I am still just rolling sevens on a marching band. I've had the BU one reach out, and they said they couldn't do it in time. I've had the Everett one says that. Oh, hang on, the Everett one, yeah, they can't do it in time.
Maybe just if the BU like drum, or if even if you got like 10 of them.
I want an entire right, marching band in studio.
Bird, I know, but if some is better than none. All right, Bird, go ahead.
So one kid just told me 90% yes. I'm waiting back for
contact
Mr.
me, not you. Have them contact me.
Well, huh? He's getting it done. I mean,
right, send the information over.
Okay, that would be great, Bird. That'd be awesome.
Well, Bird, if you're making headway, you keep at it as well.
Seriously, wouldn't you? Just if you can wrap this up before we have to leave the office today, wouldn't that make your life a lot easier?
Not really.
Do you think that I would actually like be like, "Woo, it's going to happen"?
No. Here's what Bird keeps
I need phone numbers. I need confirmation.
Okay, but let
I
Bird,
trust Bird. Bird's going to get it done.
Let Bird keep working his Everett angles. He might be able to postpone graduation. If he promises to never say he went to high school there again.
That sounds great, Bird. All right, continue to work that angle. And if you're someone else who might fit that bill,
like an acapella group, or like someone mentioned a barbershop quartet.
Dude, I don't care. I want it to be chaos.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting at. Just we're not plugging you into anything, though. You don't have access to electricity.
So it says we need a Nicky Knuckles appearance. Well,
I don't remember who. Oh, yeah, that guy from outside.
Yeah, Nicky Knuckles would be interesting. Maybe a motorcycle guy. The Bruins motorcycle guy can show off his sweet hog. Yep. All these people.
I voted for him.
Yes, you did. All of these people can. They're all welcome, and they're all also eligible to win the tickets. They're encouraged to come here. Remember, are we just going to put your name or draw two random or one random person to win two tickets?
Perhaps we should maybe get some security up here.
I think they are.
All right, good.
I think they are doing that.
And good luck to Jaffe to get in when he gets here.
Oh hang on. Jaffe's yeah. Coming in studio?
Jaffe.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
That's great.
That'll be great. Everyone needs to be chanting, Jaffe, Jaffe, as he walks in. Jaffe. They can just pick him up like a mosh pit to bring him to the front door.
Right. I don't know.
He's only 5'10", you know.
Yeah, I know. He won't be able to see over anything.
All right. In a random thing that I don't know why this is being even tweeted out there or why anyone is clinging on to this, Justin Bieber randomly tweeted out, I want to challenge Tom Cruise to fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared and you'll never live it down. Who is willing to put on the fight at Dana White? Well, what ended up happening was Conor McGregor actually answered the tweet and said, if Tom Cruise is man enough to accept this challenge, McGregor Sports and Entertainment will host the bout. Does Cruise have the sprouts to fight like he does in the movies? Stay tuned to find out. And there continue to be even more steam. Conor McGregor says, I challenged Mark Wahlberg on the very same card. Back when Mark Wahlberg was Marky Mark, I'd have slapped the ears off of him and didn't take my UFC shares back. Hashtag shares. Hashtag ESPN. So there you go. Everyone seems to be talking about that. Who would win in a fight? I don't know how this became such a big thing. I don't know why or why. But I saw it too.
It was all over the place.
And everyone's like, I think Bieber's got the reach. I'm like, what are we doing here? It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, somebody noticed something very specific about how Keanu Reeves takes photos with fans. I am thoroughly enjoying, by the way, the Keanu Renaissance that's going on.
Like, did you see the Twitter thing that they're doing where they're using his name
in different music of him walking in the room?
No. I'll show you. I mean, it's kind of lame.
There's a lot of Keanu things going on right now.
There's a lot of Keanu, a lot of ironic Keanu stuff.
I still have yet to see the third John Wick movie. I am 2/3 through the second one. I just wasn't able to watch it all, but it ruled. But the one thing that Keanu Reeves seems to be doing in all of his photos with fans of his is that my man's got a bad case of the hover hands. That's when he's taking photos with a fan, he has his hand out around them, but he's not actually touching them.
Smart man.
Dude, I thought the exact same thing.
Yep.
Because what that does is that keeps anyone from saying Keanu Reeves groped me, he touched me inappropriately, and then they can't say I've got evidence, because what you're going to see is creepy old hover hand sitting right there.
We're walking down a lane here where human contact is going to be highly discouraged.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question. So when I saw those pictures, I was just like,
smart.
Brilliant. You're a very smart guy.
You want a picture taken with me? I ain't touching you.
Mm-mm.
Yep, I agree. I think that's the way to go. So this thing, it's lame, but it's another Keanu thing. It's like Keanu Reeves as a gardener, Keanu leaves. Keanu Reeves going home, Keanu leaves. Keanu Reeves is tired of dealing with disgruntled customers about charges levied against their accounts. Keanu flees. So this is apparently taking over Twitter.
Keanu eats some bad sushi. Keanu heaves.
See,
dude, I'm going to be an internet legend. I'll tweet that out.
Jump on Twitter right now. All right, so we will be back. I'm very concerned about the whereabouts of Zolak and Bertrand. It is not their fault, but I have. Hardy just texted me. I have plans. no plans to stay anywhere past 10, but nonetheless, we will see if they can make it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and we'll see, is Zolak, Bertrand, or Hardy here? Hardy's coming up the stairs right now.
Oh.
It's too bad.
I thought we were going to have to roll this out.
I thought we were going to, the way the traffic has been, I'm thinking we'll go all the way to walking on a thin line before anyone gets here.
You will know that the show has not shown up, which is after ours, if after headlines, this is the song is playing. We will just play Huey Lewis's sports album until it ends. But Hardy has saved the day.
There he is.
How much does it suck out there, Hardy?
Oh, there's a look and a half.
Right?
Not good.
Maybe 300 yards from us is where that red train came off the track at the JFK station. And
feeling good about moving out to the suburbs today, Hardvark?
No, I don't think it would have made a difference today.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, as bad as it was, I don't know. The thing with, like, the map programs, because it kept updating like every couple of minutes. Oh, 3 minute delay on your route. Oh, 5 minute delay on your route.
What are you using?
Waze.
You can't use Waze.
See, I
30 minutes ago was telling me I was going to be here at 10:07. So this is my workaround with Waze. You turn it off, you punch in your route again, you know, pull up your favorite, and it will give you different routes. And it got me here in plenty of time. Right. But you have to keep like turning it off and turn it back on.
Use MapQuest.
And print out the old sheets?
No, there's an app for MapQuest that's by far the best. Google's trying to route you, I think, by some like stores and stuff now.
I'm old school. I do Garmin. I still got the Garmin in the car.
Got a Garmin up on the dash?
Yep, I got a Garmin on the dash. I don't like changing. I hate putting my phone up there. I want to keep it by my side.
Okay.
My parents use Garmin, and it had them coming from Knoxville into Boston, going through the Bronx.
Smart.
Had him get off the they had put him on the FDR for some unknown reason.
The FDR. And then,
yeah, and then had him go through the city through the Bronx.
Jeez,
and then,
the FDR. Now I'm interested in this marching band thing tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Adam 12 should come in. Did he texted me? Was it about the marching band?
I don't know. But Wallach, were you in a marching band?
Of course I was.
Okay. Rich?
No, I was never in a marching band. I was in a band, not a marching band.
I was in a band and in the marching band
for
a year.
Yep.
And then you
realized... What did you play?
It was drums.
Oh, okay.
I played the quads. Marching band. We did a version of YYZ that really brought the house down.
That was suburban Detroit back then.
That's right.
Can you bring a clarinet in tomorrow, John, in case the band shows up?
I do not have a clarinet. Sorry.
He doesn't have one.
We can get one. You want to borrow my saxaboom?
No.
It's another reed instrument.
No, I'm sorry.
Very similar.
It doesn't work that way, Hardy.
Why not?
I had a saxophone.
You're afraid you forgot the fingerings? Is that the problem, Walt?
That could be.
All right.
Man, I'm a little rusty.
So I don't know where you guys are going to park.
We're not here tomorrow. We're downtown.
Ah, there you go.
That's right.
That's right. Game seven. Yeah.
That's right.
The big game. Garden. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be fine. It'll be an easier ride in tomorrow. I've been taking the commuter rail when I have to go downtown, either for games or for those. It's awesome.
Yeah, I love the commuter rail.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
But
Especially today.
Today it would not have worked out so well.
Hell on earth.
Yeah. There's been a little too much going off the tracks recently. For my taste.
So do you have a band for tomorrow or not?
No one confirmed.
Everett High is.
There's a bunch that have reached out, but no one has confirmed.
Everett High is efforting right now.
Yep. So if you still want to try to get in on this, at Toucher and Rich, direct message me.
I think Rich should plug in and play. You know, I've seen him do some acoustic noodling before, which we did not care for. And I'm speaking collectively. I want to see you plug in and rock it.
I can't do it.
Why not?
I can't do it.
Bring out the Marshall stacks.
I could do that.
What are you afraid of?
I do have the Marshall stacks.
What do you mean you can't do it? Can't or won't?
Well, it's just like,
it's riffs. I performed live on the show and you haven't? How is that possible?
I could bring in the Marshall cabinet tomorrow.
Let's just focus on what's going on outside. All right, everyone, enjoy themselves. Do you want me to stay in here?
No, I think Beatles.
Oh, Bertrand's here.
I think Beatles has been here.
Okay.
Well, that's nice. All right. Everyone have a great day. That'll do it for us. See you at 6 a.m. tomorrow, or at least hopefully before 8, but we'll see. All right. Bye-bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.